Praise God. Well, happy new year, happy 2023. We serve an awesome God, and I don't know about you, but I am excited to be in the church, the house of God today. There's no better way to start our year than in the house of God. So I'm excited about 2023 and all that God has in store and all the awesome things he's going to do. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Remember to keep all the pastor and leadership team in your prayers, but also if you could keep in prayer, Brother and Sister Cantrell, they're missionaries to Burkina Faso. Many of you have seen them here before when they came through on deputation, but they are on high alert right now in the nation of Burkina Faso, suffering from great persecution and just high alert from intimidation. So just keep them in prayer that God is going to break open the doors for an awesome revival. With that being said, if you'd stand with me, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service today. Thank you for all the awesome miracles you have in store. Thank you for our pastor and our leadership, the awesome message that is going to go forth today, God. Thank you for all the hearts and minds and lives that will be touched here in person and online, God. Also, we ask that you right now that you be with the Cantrells. Touch and protect them, God. Let the doors of revival and awakening be open in Burkina Faso that they might see your power and your victory rod, God. Keep them safe in all that they do. Thank you for this service today, this awesome year, and the many miracles, signs, and wonders that will be done for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for joining us in the service, whether in person or online. If it's your first time here in the house of God, we'd love to get to connect with you, get to know you a little bit more. If you just stop by the welcome kiosk right out in the vestibule there, or if you're watching online, if you would just go to the bit.ly link, a few points of information so we can connect with you, get to know you, reach out and minister to you. Also, if you want to kick the year off right with giving, we love to give and bless the house of God. You can give here online or in person at the offering box at the welcome kiosk, or you can give online. You can mail it in, or you can use the Church Center app. A few announcements before we go to worship. This Friday, January 6th at 7 o'clock is all church prayer. Woo! Amen. I'm excited about that. Kick the year off right with an awesome prayer meeting and the power of God. Also remember in January 16th, we'll be starting off our week of prayer and fasting as a church. So remember to mark that on your calendars. That's not the week to go out and say, you know, you're going to hit every all-you-can-eat buffet, but we're going to pray and fast as a church. That 2023 be an awesome year of God, that God do great and mighty things before his coming. Amen. God bless you. Let's go to the Lord and worship. If you want to come down to the front or stay where you're at, let's worship God and kick off 2023 in an awesome way.
Step out of the shadows. Step out of the break into the wild, and don't be afraid, and run into wide open spaces, grace is waiting for you, and dance like the weight has been lifted, grace is waiting, with the Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom, there where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom, let there be freedom. Yes, freedom. Freedom, bring all of your blood. shake at the sound of Jesus' name. And lives made whole and hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. Chains will fall, prisons shake at the sound of Jesus' name. That has plagued you, that has brought down your family, your friends, your community. Bring it to the front of your mind right now and you just say, Jesus. 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 The name above all names. Jesus for my family. Jesus for the situation. Jesus for the hurt and the pain. Jesus for the inconvenience. Jesus. Jesus. Speak the name. The name above all other names. Speak the name. The name. Strongholds are broken, and I've been made free. You are forgiven, and fear has to leave. Strongholds be broken, you've been made free. We are forgiven, and fear has
God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It's up to you. It's up to me. You could be seated this morning. Thank you so very much to our worship team. What a powerful, powerful worship service. Sometimes you wonder if maybe you don't have the wrong message. I was questioning myself, and I just, as the worship continued, and I began to look across the sanctuary, and I began to, you don't have to see everybody, you can just hear. I can hear people worshiping. I can hear Sister Claudia. I love to hear Sister Claudia worship. I don't know about you, but I love coming to prayer meetings and hearing certain people pray and worship. These are my brothers. These are my sisters. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for my family. Thankful for my biological family, my physical family, but I'm thankful for the family of God. And we're going to finish our Christmas series, and this is a kind of a segue message. Our theme that we've chosen for this next year to start off our year is Press On. And God just spoke about revival. As we get about halfway through the month, we're going to have a series of lessons within our January theme where we're going to talk about setting ourselves up, preparing for revival, preparing our personal lives, preparing as a church. And I believe that that is important. I believe that that is critical. And here we are. Christmas is already behind us. Just last week was Christmas. That's come, it's gone. And even though it's maybe the most wonderful time of the year for some, the holidays, for others, can be very lonely. It can be alienating. Families that have issues, struggles, and maybe you weren't welcome with your family this year. Isolating. The loneliness and the alienation and isolation often comes from struggles that are related to family. And many of us, as we talked at the beginning of this series, we have at least that one relative that confronts us during the holidays and that tempts us to look at our biological or our nuclear family and our extended families with criticism or cynicism, with anger and sometimes even despair. And we covered some of that a few weeks ago. It seems like it was just yesterday, but it seems like it was a year ago that we were talking about Thanksgiving and having our Thanksgiving service and talking about all the things as we came up, and many of you expressed the things that you're thankful for, and Thanksgiving has come and gone. Christmas has come and gone, and we're into a new year, the first service, the first day of 2023. With Christmas gone, Thanksgiving's gone, you don't have to worry, the family has come and gone, but family is still family. There'll be Valentine's Day and Mother's Day and Father's Day and birthdays. And with those relationships that are such a struggle, I want to reflect on a very simple biblical solution that Jesus provides for those fractured relationships in our family and fractured relationships in our lives. Not only is his solution good for us, but it provides an empowering resource that we can turn to. It's one that enables us to move toward that relative, that person, that individual, whether it is a blood relative or whether it's someone that sits across the break room table from you at lunchtime. It enables us to move toward that relationship in ways that heal instead of prolong the wounds. We live in such a broken relationship, our society struggles with relationship. We've put love in all the wrong places. We don't even, as a society, I sit here and I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost so powerful. I can feel the love of my Savior. Society as a whole doesn't know what that feels like. They don't know what love really feels like. So then what is the solution? We can look into the scripture, and Jesus gives us a perfect example to the solution to not just our holiday relationship woes, but to our relationship woes across the board. And I believe it is this so very simple. Jesus gave us himself. It's really that simple. It's not complicated. Relationships can be complicated, but healing a relationship can be as simple as giving himself. Jesus gave himself. He gave himself, and as a result of giving of himself, he also gives us family. And that family, yes, it can be a biological family, but I want to focus about our church family. He gives us family. He gives us the local church family, the church, the body of Christ. Brother Seidel did a tremendous job on Wednesday night talking about unfailing the church. God desires to see the church unveiled to the world. To the disciples who had left everything to follow after Jesus Christ, Jesus responded to them with, when you first read it, it seems to be almost harsh, almost crude. But here, he ordered his disciples. He said, if you want to be a disciple of myself, you gotta get rid of all of it. You gotta turn away from all this and follow me. Here he's talking to his disciples in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. He says, truly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or lands or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. You see, Jesus is saying that, listen, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be a follower, you have to leave all of that behind. You got to turn. So when we listen to what Jesus actually saying here, he's saying, who is your mother and your father and your sisters and your brothers? Even if your earthly family today here is, we just got through holiday season, and some of us, we still have Christmases yet to celebrate, and your earthly family may be a proverbial train wreck. But if you are with Jesus, if you are a born-again Christian, you have another family. We've talked about some of this in our past series. You have mothers and you have fathers and sisters and brothers who, like you, are united in Jesus Christ by faith. We're united in Jesus Christ by relationship. We're united in Jesus Christ by being baptized in his name. You see, the church is God's redeemed body. A family of, if you could just put it this way, a family of surrogates united together, as Paul states in Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, we're united together by one Lord, by one faith, by one baptism, and by one God. And he goes on to say, who is above all, who is through all, and who's in you all. So the only thing that I have in common with Brother Ben Smith, we don't even have the last names, we don't have the same physical DNA, but we are bound together as brothers through the body of Jesus Christ. It is God's redeemed body. In the church, this cohesion, this interconnection, a unity of spirit that transcends all other loyalties while also demolishing division. I will tell you this. I've had people say, well, you know, the church. Yeah, the church, so what? You say, well, you're loyal to the church. You're more loyal to the church than you are to your family. This is my family. Brother Al, you are my brother. And Sister Peggy, you are my sister. I am loyal to them, and I will remain loyal to them. But you see, we have to understand our common denominator is not a political party. It's not a political ideology. It's not a wealth status. It's not a paycheck status. It's not because we have the same car or we live in the same neighborhood. It's because we serve the same Jesus. It's not any. I could spend a lot of time on this entire point right here because I think we get it so wrong at times. It's not about who you are. I don't care who you are or where you came from. If Jesus Christ saved you, if his blood is flowing in your veins, you're my brother, you're my sister. Look at the disciples of Jesus. We can look at Peter. Peter at times was loud and an intense man that seemed to have a low emotional intelligence. We have those here walking among us. We have the Johns. We have the gentle and thoughtful. The meditative type of a man or a woman who became inseparable brothers through their shared union, their shared experience. When you look at the relationship with John the Beloved and Jesus, it was John the Beloved and Jesus on the cross says, take mom home. I don't want her to see this. Take her home. Take care of her. It was John that laid his head on the chest of Jesus. Simon, oh my goodness, an anti-government zealot. And Matthew, a government-employed tax collector that nobody liked. Lived on both sides of the equation, both sides of the fence. But all of these 12 men that had so many flaws, so many imperfections, are transformed from enemies to friends by one same relationship. They all came in contact with Jesus Christ. They all had relationship with Jesus. We could look at continue through the New Testament. We have Andrew and we have Paul and we have Apollos and Dorcas, and they could go on and on of the saints that are mentioned in the New Testament. What was the common denominator? It was a relationship with Jesus Christ. When we look at this church, the church itself, now hear me, the church itself is not made up of natural friends and natural relationships. I can go back a long time ago, and I remember when John Repka first started coming to church, high school, Poinette. Roger Weekly brought you into the church, Brother John. You know what? I do absolutely nothing about him. I didn't know his name when he came in. I didn't know where he, I didn't know anything about him. Nothing. I went all the way to Central Texas to a wedding last year for Jay and Raquel. I knew nothing about her family. Never met her family. Never met Mother Jay's family. Drove all the way to Texas. We're going to Las Vegas for, where's he at? Jacob Zimmerman. He stayed out too late this morning. He may be in Vegas right now. He's getting married the end of March. We're driving to Vegas to help to officiate their wedding. And then him and his bride will be moving back here. Or she'll be moving back here. I don't know anything about her family. I don't know anything about Brother Blizzard. What a Brother Blizzard from Las Vegas. And it's spelt Blizzard. You see, I didn't know Carrie Millen. I didn't know Debbie Millen. I didn't know Rico and Julia. All of you, we didn't know each other when you came into this place. But it's because of a relationship with Jesus, a common denominator that binds us together. It's not a common education. It's not a common race. It's not common income or common politics. It's not a common nationality or common accents or jobs or anything of the sort. We come together not because we have some form of natural connection, but because we have been saved by Jesus Christ, and we are here not because we are loyal to each other as much as we are here because we are loyal. Our common connection, our common loyalty is a common allegiance to Jesus Christ. This unity, this harmony, and this light, we were at one time perhaps, we could have been natural enemies. I've seen people come in that have a total different political spectrum and view. The Holy Ghost gets to them and conviction sets in, and they come to the altar and they repent of their sins and they're baptized in the name of Jesus and they're filled with the same Holy Ghost that you and I got, that Peter got, that Paul got. And what was at one time a natural, perhaps, enemy is now a common brother. Because of a common relationship with Jesus Christ. When we look at this unity, this harmony, around the experience of loving Jesus, or perhaps better said, being deeply loved by Jesus. We can love him, but he first loved us, and he loves us a whole lot more, and he's more loyal to us than we are to him. When we look at this, in the first century of Jerusalem, the rabbis openly prayed on the streets. We could read about it. You could read about it in your scripture and in the Bible. They openly prayed on the streets. And one of their common prayers that they said was they would thank God. Now, these are rabbis. It was a very different culture back then. But we still have a lot of this going on today and just shows itself in different ways. Thanking God that they're not a woman. How do you suppose that would go over now? Man, I'm thankful I'm not a woman. Thank you, God, I'm not a woman. But that's what they would do. They would thank God that they're not a slave. They would thank God that they're not a Gentile. Between those three at that point in time, they pretty much had offended everybody around them. And then they wrap it up with, "I thank God I'm not a publican." That's not Republican, it's publican. In a culture of social pecking order, you have to understand the culture that Jesus grew up in. This is why the rabbis hated him so much, because he was a common man with little to no education, and he was called a rabbi. They detested that thought. People are putting him at the same level as us. And we've spent our whole lives in the temple. And he is a lowly carpenter that hangs out with sinners and publicans and prostitutes. When Jesus Christ arrived on the scene, he took the entire world's social structure, put it upside down, and shook it. He messed with everybody's mojo. He went to the houses and ate with sinners. He sat at a well with a woman that was a I don't know how you describe this Samaritan woman. It's just, she knew he wasn't supposed to be there, and he knew. He took all those social norms. But you see, understand something. He came as a savior to the world, and he came to level the playing field and to reaffirm that all people are equal in dignity and value. It doesn't matter what your checkbook says. It doesn't matter what your street address is. Doesn't matter what kind of car you drive in here. You're my brother, you're my sister. Period. You see, we have to understand. Galatians, Paul writes this in Galatians 3:28. He says there's neither Jew nor Greek. The New Testament church, it was in, boy, I wish I had time to go into all of this. It was in such a culture. You think we have cultural issues today? They were in a cultural, political, military crossroad. I mean, everything. When you look at the perfect time for Jesus Christ to come into the world, it was the perfect time. It was absolutely perfect. Because all of these powers revive or looking to up them one up the next, and you had the political, and you had the military, and you had the culture, you had all the Roman and the Grecian Empire that were coming through collision and all of these things going on. And in the church you had to worship Rome. And Caesar was God, and Paul gets up there being a radical Pharisee that felt like he was doing right with what he was doing by persecuting the church. I got to get rid of it, because he was looking through his eyesight, his way. He was one of those elites. The Sanhedrin, the rabbi. I mean, Paul was up there. He was an intelligent man, well-schooled in doctrine. And he's saying that there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's a big conflict going on in the church. He says, you know what? It doesn't matter. There's neither Norwegian nor Spanish. There's neither French nor Algerian. There's neither Egyptian nor any. Throw it out there. There's neither Texan nor Illinois. Well, maybe Illinois. I don't know. There's neither slave nor free. Slavery was very common in those days. Very common. It wasn't a race issue. Everyone that wasn't a Roman was a slave to Rome. Period. The Jews loved, oh, we're in bondage to no man. Oh, get over yourself. You've been under Roman bondage for 400 years. You see, in the church, let me finish. There's neither male nor female. That means Sister Mashanda has as much value in the kingdom of God as I have. Some of us men have problems with that. Get over yourself. When you get to heaven, there's going to be neither male nor female. So kind of blows that binary thing right off the map, doesn't it? Well, the Lord's one step ahead of us. I don't know what we're going to look like, but we ain't going to look like this. I don't care as long as I'm there. You see, in the church, God has given us family. He's given us a spiritual family. And our spiritual family, as important as our physical family is, this spiritual family is an anchor family. Which in turn, this gives us a spiritual stability. Everybody I've ever seen that has walked away from the family of God has lost stability in their lives. They'll argue with it. But you can't argue with some folks over that. But nevertheless, people walk away and they lose their spiritual family. They lose that anchor and they lose that spiritual stability, which then in turn can flow into multiple areas of our lives. In here, where the healing from dysfunctions and sorrows and losses from our past, things we perhaps experienced before we became part of the family of God or the body of Christ. Many people here have been denied access to your natural families. Some of you, your spouses have cut you off and your parents have disowned you and children that honored us as a parent, we can find love and reassurance in our relationships in the church. I've talked with a brother just within the last 48 hours. And we were talking about family and how that families kind of disowned them since they've come into the church but their family has a level of stability that the rest of the family doesn't have. Doesn't mean it's perfect. Doesn't mean everything is perfect in the family. But you see, like a natural family, the church, this spiritual family, this anchor family. Well, I don't know about you, but we're not all perfect. I look across here, you look at me, you're not looking at a perfect pastor, okay? If you think I am perfect, I am not perfect. I've never been perfect, and I never will be perfect in this life. I've got faults. There are times that I can be dysfunctional, especially at 6 o'clock in the morning. Pretty good at 9 o'clock at night, but 6 o'clock in the morning, my day started for years at 4 a.m., and I don't know what it is from 4 to 9. It's just like I don't know how I functioned. All I do know, Mountain Dew and donuts from Quick Trip. Go in and get the 54-ounce Mountain Dew Big Buddy for 75 cents and take 5.5 cans of soda. And that was my function. That's what helped me function. Don't sit there and look at me and criticize me when you power down cappuccinos and coffee. I had one of those cappuccino things once. I left International Falls, and some little kid in a coffee shop, I told him I had about a 10-12 hour drive, and I was tired because I had been up all night long. He's like, I'll get you where you're going. I don't know what he put in that thing, but by the time I got to Eau Claire, I was shaking so bad I couldn't hardly stand it. I can't say I drove the speed limit much of that time either. But you see, like a natural family, the spiritual family, this anchor, we have dysfunction here. We have problems. We break down. We have meltdowns. We get upset at one another. Are you all just perfect but me? Come on, don't sit there looking at your brother or your sister. Remember that little scripture about having a speck in your own eye, or speck in looking at the beam or the toothpick stuck in your brother's eye, and you got a beam, a 2x4 in your own? You see, we have to understand something. Until Jesus completes the work that he's begun in us, we will never be perfect. You see, because we are his workmanship, because his resurrection gave us new life and a new hope in our future, we can treat ourselves and each other with hope and with love instead of with criticism and with hate. We can live in confidence that we're not there yet. I'm not there yet, but we will be. We will be. So many people look at the church and expect perfection, but I challenge you to look in the scripture where you can find perfection in humanity, whether it's saved or unsaved. Pastor Seidel just preached the first session, and he talked about Paul, and I just talked with the brother this past week about this. Paul says, you know what? I got some problems here, folks. I do things I ought not to do. And I can't get myself to do the things I know I'm supposed to do. I'm dysfunctional, and I write stories and books. I spend half my life in prison and the other half getting beat up. I'm a mess. Now, he didn't maybe put it quite that dramatic, but in Paul's way, he said, hey, listen, I'm not perfect in this life. And on this side of eternity, I'm never going to be perfect. So stop expecting perfection from something that was never designed to be perfect. We look at our spouses sometimes. Us husbands are good at this. We expect our wives to be perfect. As I said before, in humor, the only Mary Poppins was practically perfect in every way, but she doesn't exist in real life. Your wife is not Mary Poppins. Maybe yours is, but I don't know. Husbands, we expect our wives to be perfect, but we expect them to deal with and live with our imperfections. Simply put, we're not perfect in this life, and this side of eternity will never be perfect. The church was never designed to be perfect. You know what it was designed to be? It was designed to be the voice and the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I love that song that we sang, our first worship song, Speak the Name of Jesus. Speak it in the mountains, speak it in the valleys, speak it in the streets, speak it in the shopping malls, speak it at Quick Trip, speak it at Kelly Market, speak it at Kohl's Department Store, speak it at Cracker Barrel, speak the name of Jesus, be his hands and his feet.
That's what we were designed to be. My hands aren't perfect and my feet aren't perfect. My voice isn't perfect. See, Jesus will soon present his family, the church, to himself as a radiant bride without spot or blemish. So somewhere between rapture and stepping into heaven, this body changes from mortality or imperfection to immortality to perfection. And church, we're not there yet. So stop expecting it from one another. You see, Paul says in Philippians 1:6, he says, I am sure of this. I'm not reading the same version up here, but he says, it's already settled. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Basically, what he's saying is, Brother Caskey, someday the work that God started in you and Sister Caskey, he's going to perfect it when you step through those pearly gates. It's not perfect yet. It's not completed yet. But when we step into heaven's corridors, it will be perfect and it will be complete. He's saying that God, by his unrivaled infinite power, will someday remedy everything that was ever wrong with you. With me and with his church. So then, the church became the first place. What if the church became the first place instead of the last place that people went looking for family? What if the church was a place where that no parent felt the burden of having to raise their children alone? Our musicians can come. And where every child had hundreds of mothers and fathers and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and big brothers and big sisters and little brothers and little sisters. You see, this is exactly what God intended for the church to be. Do you know what else? When we leave our earthly families for the church family that God provides in the church, we actually end up cleaving better to our earthly families. You say, why is this? Well, because in the church, we're first taught how to know God as a father who protects us, who defends us and provides for us, and as a mother hen who gathers us under his wings to shelter us in. God teaches us through his word how to be better people. There's a little word that's called character. Sometimes we can say, well, he's quite the character. It's not what I'm talking about there. You see, in the church, we're taught to know the Holy Spirit as a comforter. We're taught to know the Holy Spirit as a counselor. We're taught to know the Holy Spirit as a guide. And the more we know about God, our Father, in these ways, the more equipped and the more empowered and the more energized we will be to protect, defend, provide shelter, bless, forgive, empower, hold, lay down our lives, comfort, counsel, and guide. Not only our spiritual family, but our earthly families. In short, the body of Christ, the church, helps us in the formation of our character. You can stand. Which is really what we've been experiencing almost all of last year's series. Had this woven through every series. I told you that I have a little thread that I weave through every series. And this is it. You see, we become better equipped to love and to bless our earthly families who may be outside the church rather than being a pain in the neck that one gets on everybody's nerves, brother-in-law, becomes a target of our love and benefits from our Christ-like kindness. Because of the influence of the church family, the family of Jesus Christ, his body here on earth, this family changes how you think. You know why? Because our relationship with Jesus Christ changes how we think. People say, oh, you folks all think the same over there, a bunch of brainwashed. No, I'm blood washed and Bible washed. I didn't think this way naturally. Naturally, I look at some of you and think, oh my God, what in the world? You do the same thing. That's why you laugh so hard, sister. I'm just kidding. No. We all, because of the influence of the church family, the family of Jesus Christ, we all start thinking creatively in biblically principled ways as to how we can love that one sister-in-law, that one person at work that gets on our nerves, all of the offensiveness and the abrasiveness. But a little word of precaution. Don't let your earthly family be your savior. And don't let your earthly family be your Jesus. Instead, let Jesus and his body be your family. And when you do, your earthly family will be so much better for it. So as we perhaps plunge into, press into, maybe some of you just simply stumbled into 2023. Oh, we're all family. None of us is perfect. None of us have all the answers. None of us are going to do 100% right every time. As pastors here, we're going to mess up. We're going to do things. We're going to say things. Sometimes you get a microphone and you just say dumb stuff. You know how that is. Maybe you don't know how it is. So here, Sister Kate, say something to me. Microphones do that to people. But we try. You don't get up every time you preach and hit a home run. Most of the time it's like, Lord, I need another golf ball. Don't know where that one went to. How many mulligans can I have in a game? Some days you get up and you give it your best and it just doesn't quite get there. Some days you come in and you want to give it your best and you just don't quite get there. This is how life works. It's not perfect, body. We're not perfect. Marvin, I know you're my son-in-law and I love you, but you're not perfect. Almost. He's almost. He's got a little ways to go. Just a scooch to go. He's got perfect grandkids. I mean, I got perfect grandkids. No, I'm just kidding. But you see, it's because of Jesus Christ. That's why we're all here. That's why Josh Stone is here. That's why I can look through the congregation and I can just go through every last one of you. That's why you're here. Because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what brings us all together. So as we start forward in 2023, we're gonna press on, church. We're going to press through all the muck, all the mire, all the political mess going on in our world, all the social mess going in the world. The church has been under attack since its very inception, and it's always going to be under attack. It's nothing new. Then it was personal for Paul shared his personal attacks. It's personal for us today. We'll get over it. We'll get through it. And we just keep pressing on. We don't stop. We're not there yet. We haven't reached the end. He hasn't called us home. So do we want revival? Oh, you better believe I want revival. Do I want it this year? Oh, I wanted it last year. I want it this year. And I want you to be a part of that. I want us to be a part of that. Every one of us has a role. Every one of us has a purpose. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here today. I know I've gone a few minutes over this morning, but it's 2023, and I didn't get to preach last weekend. So the way I look at it, I went 15 minutes over. You're still 45 minutes ahead. I love you folks. I hope you love me. Sometimes I can be difficult. I didn't say that for an applause. I just making you feel sorry for me. My wife's home sick with vertigo, so I'm going to have to make my own lunch today. But oh, we didn't even get hang and have leftovers because we didn't eat yesterday. So Papa Jimmy's. They're open. So I just want our worship team to start singing, and I just want us to make our way to the altar. Not in repentance. Maybe you need to, I don't know. But just in a celebration of I've got an awesome family. I've got awesome brothers. I've got awesome sisters. And I just want to worship our awesome Father together. If you're broken down and you need some of the awesomeness of Jesus Christ in your life, just come on down. We'll pray with you. God bless you, church. Love you. Appreciate you.
His anointing is empowering. The kingdom of the Lord is within me, and He is calling. Something's moving, something's changing. see his glory. Feels like heaven on earth.
Something's moving, something's changing. See his glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. See his glory. Feels like heaven on earth.
Church, this Wednesday evening we will have our first Bible study of 2023. How many of you do New Year's resolutions? Just a few. I don't do them either. A few, but I do make goals. I do set goals. Okay, so we're going to collectively talk about goal setting for 2023, because if we don't set goals, we won't get there. And if we get there, we won't know that we're there because we don't know what we set. We're just not going to stumble along week after week and hope we get there. We're going to set goals personally and as a church. And 2023 is going to be an awesome,
awesome year for Jesus Christ. And then next Sunday, we're going to start our first series on Press On. And I'm excited about it. Thank you so very much to our worship team, to all my awesome brothers and sisters here today. God bless you. And see you back here. Love you all.